right, and he does too. That's a blessing. All right, we're in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3 and verse 13, Philippians 3:13. We continue with part 2 of Run Your Race. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. And we talked about this morning the idea of New Year's resolutions and, the reality that we've not arrived yet. We all have areas, we have races to run. As we start a new year, we all have goals we should be looking at. We all should have vision in our lives for things that are going on in our lives. For some, it's college and, going on, and maybe their second semester of college. They've just started. Freshman Nicole was playing the offertory, and I thought about her and certainly others. And for others, it's high school, finishing high school. We have several seniors, and you ought to be praying for our seniors. And praying that they survive. No, praying that they do their very best, and they do all that they can do to before they graduate, and then college, what they're going to do as far as the future. That'll all be established, and they have a lot of decisions to make. Pray for them, and of course the old college students, you know, like Steve Letson. He's been in college now. He's got it all figured out. No, he's got races to run. And classes to take, and challenges that they face, and at work you've got challenges, and in our Christian lives, you say, you know, I read through my Bible last year. Okay, well, it's not time to rest. All right, now it's time to just keep going, and read through it again this year. And in our prayer lives, we need to run races with our prayer lives and our soul winning and our just you name it. There's just so many things. For some here tonight, it's some sin in your life that you know you've got to quit. You've got to get victory over it. And you need to decide, though. You've got to make that decision. So this morning we started off with 4 points, and the first one was a demonstration, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to look to him. He started his race and finished his race when he died on the cross, and the Bible says enduring the cross. He endured it. He went through the suffering. But he finished, and praise the Lord. And if he doesn't finish, then we all die and go to hell. Praise the Lord for the demonstration of someone who ran a race and finished the race. Then number 2 was the demarcation, the mark that is set, the prize, the finish line. And then the boundaries, how we're going to do it, how we're going to finish our race that we are to run. We've got to stay in the rules. We need to follow the word of God. It's perfect, and we need to follow it in order to finish lawfully. The Bible says you got to strive lawfully, or you're not going to get the crown. And of course, the Lord Jesus, there were conditions to his finishing his race. And the great condition, I think, was the sinless life. He could not sin. And so there were boundaries that had to be followed. And so we see the demarcation. And then 3 is the declaration. That's letting people know. You ought to have people you talk to. You ought to tell people, hey, I'm going to do this. This is my decision in 2012. I'm going to run this race. And declaration, let it be known. Let others know. Let God know. And let the devil know. I'm running this race. I'm going to go against you. And I'm going to run this race. And then dedication. Again, the idea, okay, anything, is it worth it? Is it worth the prize of winning the race? And you've got to be dedicated to it. Again, the athletes, the Bible looks at, they had to be dedicated to win the mastery. They had to be dedicated to win the prize. And, you know anyone involved in athletics that is going to be successful, they have to be dedicated to winning that prize. And so those 4 things, and then we have 4 more things tonight that I want to share with you and talk to you about in reference to run your race. Father, bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts and give us exactly what we need tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back, if you will, to Hebrews 12 and verse 1, and we will give you the 5th point of this message, run your race. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We've seen the demonstration, the demarcation, the declaration, and the dedication, and now number 5 is the denunciation or deprivation. We went to lunch today, and Dave was trying to guess all the points, and he gave deprivation, which is the same as denunciation, which was what I had written down. But I'll give him a little credit for deprivation. But what is that? Laying aside weights. If you're going to run, you're going to have to lay aside the weights. I remember joggers from years ago, they would wear 5-pound weights around each ankle, and they would go jogging, and they'd jog with those weights, and hopefully they were building up strength in their legs so they could run later on. But it would be a foolish thing if the guy was going to run in the race and he kept the weights on his ankles. Amen? I mean, he's not going to win the race. And that's what God's talking about here. He's saying we need to lay aside every weight. Okay, if you're going to win your race, again, you've already determined by that fourth point of dedication. You've already said, okay, I want, it's worth it. I want to win. I'm dedicated to winning this race. I'm dedicated to achieving this goal. I'm dedicated. I'm going to do it. Now, so this point number 5, denunciation or deprivation, is it just makes sense, all right? That I'm going to lay aside things that are going to slow me down. I'm going to lay aside anything that's going to keep me from that goal. I'm going to put those things aside. Paul said, "I die daily." Paul knew that if he was going to win his race, and by the way, he did. He said he finished his course. He knew that if he was going to do that, he's going to have to die to his flesh. And that which his flesh, not necessarily all bad things, but anything that was going to slow him down, he knew he had to die to it. He knew he had to put that aside. He needed to get rid of those weights. And it's a crucial part in our decision to read through our Bible. Okay, if you're going to read through your Bible, then you're going to not maybe read through something else. You're going to not maybe do something else. And it may not have been a bad thing that you were doing. But if you're going to win that race, if you're going to reach that mark, if you're going to finish the course that you've set and you've already determined that it's worth it, then let's be honest. You're going to have to lay aside some weights. You are going to have to lay aside some things, and you're going to have to push those things aside that obviously are not as important as the goal that you have set, not as important as the finish line that you're trying to reach. Some weights, obviously sin would be a weight, a sin. And the Bible talks about the sin which does so easily beset us. Okay, what sin keeps you from doing God's will? What sin is it? And we all know our sins. This is one of those kind of, you know, points where you and I can just kind of look at ourselves, and God tells us often, look to yourselves. In 2 John, he says, look to yourselves that we lose not the things that we've wrought. We need to look to ourselves. What has stopped you before? What is it that pulls you down? What is it that keeps you from reading through your Bible in a year? What is it that keeps you from being faithful to church? What is it that keeps you from doing what God wants you to do? What is it that keeps you from soul winning? What are the things that slow you down, that stop you? Those things have to be pushed aside. Why? Because I want to finish. I want to win the race. I want to do what I'm supposed to do. What outward sin, maybe, is there in our lives that is very obvious? What hidden sin that we think is keeping us from doing what we're supposed to do? And you know, the Bible says, let no man deceive himself. There's things in our lives that are pulling us down, and we need to get rid of them. There's things in our lives that are keeping us from these goals, and we need to get rid of them. I think about weights of sin. I think about weights of trials, you know, trials that will weigh us down. God gives us strength for every day. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And he will give you strength. And our problem is this. He gives us strength every day for the trial of that day. But we want to grab weights from back in the past, old trials. And we want to dwell on old trials. Or we want to look into and say, I know what's coming. And we want to worry about the future. And that's a weight that we pile on ourselves. Now understand this. Whatever weight you get today and whatever you have today, God will give you strength to handle that weight. But if you're grabbing weight from yesterday and you're grabbing weight from tomorrow, you're headed for trouble. We've got to quit. You know, we have to understand that every day God is going to strengthen us for that day. Don't borrow from the past. Don't grab into the future. We need to understand, okay, I'm only going to deal with today. And whatever God's given me today, I can't handle it. I can handle whatever that is. And I can handle it. So there's some weights you need to get rid of. You need to get rid of some past. And you need to get rid of some future. And quit worrying about what tomorrow is going to bring. I guarantee there's folks, you know, worried about, well, you know, I just don't know how we're going to make it. And I just don't know this. And certainly, you know, the economy being what it is and some of the issues. But you cannot borrow that weight for tomorrow because you're not going to get strength for the weight tomorrow till tomorrow comes. And when tomorrow comes, God is going to give you the strength to handle whatever that trial happens to be. Amen. I think of the weights of sin. I think of weights of trials. And then I think of the weight of anything, just anything at all. Anything that might slow you down. Anything that might keep you from that goal. I remember when God called me to Bible college and when God called me to preach and I had to lay aside the weight of a very good job at RCA in Marion, Indiana. And now, was that a bad thing? Well, no, it wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing. It was a job I had prayed for and asked God to give me, and he did give me that job. And I remember working that job and thanking God over and over again and the shift that I was on so that I could help out in the Christian school, and that was a lot of our Christian growth. And it was a blessing, and it was a wonderful thing, and yet then all of a sudden now God's saying, now I'm calling you to go to Bible college. And clearly, when I told Brenda God's called me to preach, you know, she said, well, there's a college right here in our town. You can go to college there. But God didn't end it with just calling me to preach. God told me where he wanted me to go to Bible college. And it was down in Pensacola, Florida. And that meant I had to lay aside a weight that was a good thing. And it was a job. We laid aside a weight of a brand new car to go off to Bible college. And we learned to lay aside lots of weights because it was something that could slow us down. You say, why? I remember selling my Kawasaki. And you say, why did you have to sell that? We enjoyed it. We took our one last ride down at Pensacola on Scenic Highway. I can still remember that. And the wind through, well, back then, hair. But actually, I think we had to wear a helmet back then. But I remember selling it. You say, why'd you do it? Because I had to have books for college. And that's the only reason. And you say, yeah, but that's not a bad thing. Well, I didn't say it was a bad thing. And neither was our car, neither was my job. They were all good things. But they were things that obviously would weigh us down from finishing. I remember walking across the platform getting my diploma and recognizing the fact that all the weights in the world that were laid aside, they didn't matter anything. They weren't even close to mattering as much as that piece of paper that was in my hand. Because that was God's will for my life. And learning to achieve that goal and learning to press toward that mark and understanding that the more weight I get rid of and anything that is going to keep me from doing what it is God wants me to do, that's what I have to do. For some folks, it's a relationship. You need to cut it off because it's going to weigh you down. Amen. That's why, you know, I tell folks, and I preach this, I'm not ashamed of it at all, that getting all wrapped up in a dating relationship in high school is foolish. Going steady is foolish. It doesn't make sense. It is the one thing that may keep you from doing the one thing that God wants you to do, and the one thing that God wants you to do is where the person that he has for you, that's where they are. And you're going to get all wrapped up when you're 14, we're going out. I'm amazed. I hear fourth graders, yeah, we're going. Yeah, I'm going out with her. I think, son, your voice needs to change before you go out with anybody. And it's like, you know, oh, you know, what's that mean? Well, it just means we're going out. You don't go out. What do you mean you're going out? Well, we're going out. Going out where? Preacher, don't you get it? No, I don't get it. Here's what you need to do. You need to just be friends with everybody. Enjoy the company of everybody. And Listen, you start getting a relationship that's going to weigh you down and keep you from doing what God wants you to do. I'm telling you, you're going to miss out on the greatest days of your life. And you know, just to have the security of, I'm going out. Yeah, listen to me. There's security in being on that path right there. Boy, this aisle's in the perfect spot for this message. I got a target right there in the middle. And you are, listen to me, as long as you're on that path and you're chugging, amen, that's the most important thing in the world. Now, you get in college, you start looking around. You start thinking about relationships and everything. It's not gonna drag you down as much. But in high school, why? Doesn't make sense. Denunciation. We have to push aside some things in order to accomplish our goal. Again, it could be a small thing, so that we can read through our Bible. It could be a big thing, like quitting a job, like I had to do. But the whole idea is the goal worth it? Is the goal worth it? Number five, denunciation or deprivation. Number six, determination, or I thought of this later on, or you could add to that, desperation. Because every time I read these passages, I see somebody striving. And I mean, I see them really working hard to accomplish that goal. Understand, our race is not against other people. Do you realize that? I mean, it's one of those races that it's not against time. There's no one with a stopwatch because we don't know what the time is. Have no idea. You know, when Paul said, I finished my course, he was not saying, I made it just in the nick of time. He's saying, I did what I was supposed to do. I crossed the finish line. And so it's not a race against other people. It's not a race against time. It's a race of endurance to finish. To finish. One of the great accomplishments, I'm watching names on our little list, is some folks are on their third, fourth, fifth year of reading through their Bible. That is such a blessing to me. Because I remember your first year. I remember some of you saying to me, this is the first time I ever read through my Bible. And boy, isn't it a blessing when you do it? Isn't it a blessing when you accomplish? Isn't it a blessing when you cross that line? Amen. Amen. And again, I use that illustration because it's so fresh with a lot of people. It is a race of endurance, determination. And it starts with moving forward. Amen. That seems like a simple thing, and yet it's you have to take that first step. You know, I'm going to read through my Bible, and finally, 3 weeks into January, you read Genesis 1:1. You got to take the first step, or you won't do it. Well, I can catch up. By the way, that's a dangerous game if you're going to try to finish the job. Honestly, we do it in school all the time, right? Teacher assigns a book at the first of the year. Read this book. Okay, you just have to read this book. And you've got, oh, well, I've got 3 months. Isn't it funny how those 3 months go by? Right. You know, you have to start. And honestly, I tell people, just, okay, I can't believe the teacher assigned me this whole book report. Now I've only got 2 days to do it. Oh, when did you get the assignment? 3 months ago. You know, what you need to do is, with this race, you cannot put it off. You cannot, you know, keep saying, well, I'm looking at my calendar, and I can catch up on my Bible reading. No. Just start. Start and read. Start and read. Start and read. Start praying. You don't catch up on praying. Amen? I mean, you just start. You start. The whole thing of determination is we've got to move forward. Look real quick, Ephesians 5 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 12. The Bible says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. Isn't that sad? That's a sad verse in the Bible. He says to these Christians, he says, ye ought to be teachers, but ye have need that one teach you again. Immaturity among Christians is a sign that people are not running their races. Stay with me now. Immaturity among God's people is proof that people are not moving forward like they need to move forward. And you're not hearing it for the first time. among Christians. God said it way back here in Hebrews 5 and verse 12. He said, hey, you ought to be teachers, but you have need that somebody teach you again. Because you've not grown from third grade, and you keep flunking your third grade test, and you're staying in third grade, and you ought to be in 10th grade. It's a sad thing. I'll tell you what will wake you up when you look at SAT scores. Woke you up already, didn't it? I mean, you look at it and you see that an 11th grader is now capable of doing 6th grade work. That's scary. I'm afraid if we had spiritual maturity scores, it'd be scary what grade a lot of Christians would be in. Because you just haven't passed the test because you haven't entered the races. God's got races for you. God's got, you know, God has races. What, you know, the patience race. Tribulation worketh patience. And we come to that over and over and over. Hey, if I'm going to suffer, I'm not going to run that race. By the way, you run the race, and the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And right through there is mud and dirt and fire and storm and flood, and it's a pain, and it's going to be hard, and there's rocks. But bless God, I'm going to run that race anyway. But boy, we back out of that stuff all the time, and we don't reach where we're supposed to reach, and therefore we don't grow. And for when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And we ought to be chewing on steak, and instead we're still drinking from a bottle and drinking milk. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And by the way, there is nothing wrong with a babe being a babe. There's nothing wrong with a new Christian needing milk. There's nothing wrong with somebody who just got saved needing the milk of the word of God. But somebody that's been saved for many, many years, you know, I mean, eventually you ought to be able to at least eat a hot dog. Yummy. Amen. I mean, you ought to be able to move up to a chicken leg.
I'm getting hungry.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, watch this, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And how do you get your senses exercised that way? Verse 1, chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. That's maturity. That's growth. That's going on to the next grade. That's moving on to where God wants us to be. And the only way we do that is by running these races. What is your race that you're skipping? What is the race that bothers you, that keeps you from going on? You have to move forward. And the goal is this, to be further forward today than I was yesterday. Amen. That's the goal. I don't know how all that pans out with your race. I know in my own life, I look at races that are, okay, a good example, reading through your Bible. You know, you say, well, preacher, I'm at Genesis 1, and what is today?
The 8th.
Then you ought to be, actually, you ought to be Genesis 40. Some of you just got discouraged. I don't know what the Bible reading schedule, who has a Bible reading schedule? Anybody have one with you? What's it called for today, Phyllis? Okay, so if you follow that Bible reading schedule, Genesis 23 and 24. And okay, I got it planned. I'm going to catch up. Just get going. Just start. Just go turn the television off and read. Amen. And just read and read and move forward. I know some people, you know, I got ahead. You know, the idea is it's God's word. Read it. Read it, read it, read it. You ought to be reading, everybody in this room ought to be reading a proverb a day. A chapter in Proverbs every day. Everybody ought to be. Every person in this room ought to be doing that. You say, well, what if I'm not? You ought to be. That ought to be a goal. Proverbs. How do you live without the book of Proverbs? Amen. It's good stuff. Move forward, move forward, move forward. So again, I'm not, you know, somebody said, well, I'm not as spiritual as he is. That's not your goal. That's not your measure. Your measure is, are you more spiritual than you were? That has to be our goal. You can't, you know, I don't know how spiritual anybody. I mean, you may look at Tim Cook and say, wow, he's the most spiritual guy in the whole world. And then talk to Amy and she'll tell you the truth. But no, you don't know Tim. Tim, you don't know anything about that. Besides, you don't know if he's more spiritual than you are. You don't know. But here's what you do know. You know you. Hey, are you more spiritual than you were? Are you growing? Are you growing in the Lord? Well, I've been saved 30 years. What are you talking? You should be measuring your growth still. Okay? I understand. We reached a certain height and mom quit marking the pencil mark on the door. Okay? You know, you reach a certain age. I mean, by the time you're 40, I think moms need to quit doing that. What do you think? But, okay, that's done. But in your spiritual growth, you should be growing till you go to heaven. Move forward. That's the idea. Just move forward. Move forward. Go on unto perfection. That is a complete person. It is to being what God wants us to be. Be more spiritual than you were yesterday. You know, I think back and I get a kick out of going through the starting of a church. And we were so young. And I was 23 years old and Brenda was 23. And we just had so much to learn and so much that we did not know. And I remember so many mistakes. And I think back, sometimes I blush. I get to thinking about some of the stupidity that eked out of my life. But I just didn't know. And situations that happen now that are very similar. There's situations that, and I think, you know, then I would have had a baseball bat. Amen? And now it's not like that. And it's just amazing. It's amazing to see how God has done something in my life. And again, it's not, that's one silly little illustration. You have many in your own life. I'm asking you, are you more spiritual today than you were yesterday? I'm not saying, okay, I'm backslidden. Okay, if you're backslidden, are you going to be quicker to get right with God? Because I got news for you. You're not going to quit sinning. But you should get right quicker. And you should get righter. I know it's not good English, but it's okay. Mrs. Potter, she'll let me slide on that. I hope. Amen. Notice what he says in Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and verse 14. And I love this. I you know, you read this, and again, that's why I put determination, but I said it could be desperation. Because I want to finish. He said, I press toward the mark. You know, press, that's pressure. I pressure myself toward the mark. I'm pressing myself. It's you know, we talked about encouragement. We talked about running alongside somebody. That's what exhortation means, to run alongside and encouragement. It means to run beside him and cheer him on. But I press toward the mark. That's, what is it? That's putting pressure on you to do the job, to finish the job. It's constant pressure. It is a constant pressure. He says in Hebrews 12 and verse 1 to run with what? Patience. What's that mean? To pace yourself. All right? To put that, keep that pressure, but it's enough pressure. It's not too much pressure. It's enough pressure so I can finish the job. If it's homework, then I'm going to put enough pressure on myself. I'm going to put aside some fun things I like to do so that I can do this work that I need to do, and I'm going to pressure myself. I'm going to pace myself. I'm not going to blow a fuse because I went too crazy. I'm just going to pace myself, but I'm going to pressure myself. In my mind, I see a runner and their veins are bursting out, and if they stop, you can see that vein in their head. You can see it, you know, pumping, or in their neck. You know, I mean, they're just so intense. That's how we need to be. But we need to run with patience. That means pace ourselves according to God's will. Boy, that's good. And not turn around and look. Look at Mark 5 and verse 1. There's a lot going on around us, but your race should be important enough that you don't have. By the way, do you know what that would do for gossip? You don't have time. You're too busy trying to accomplish the goals that God's put in your heart. That's not my verse I was looking for. Matthew 5. It is good, but Matthew 5, 1 is what I'm looking for. I don't know why I said Mark. Matthew 5, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, don't you like that? When he was set, he had to get set. Set, he was determined, set. I love that. Get your eyes on the mark and get set on that and not worry about everything everybody else is doing. Not worry about this other guy's race unless you're there to cheer him on. Huh? Get your eyes on the mark. Get your eyes on the goal. Get your eyes on that thing that you want to achieve in your life. I don't know how many times. I don't know if this has happened here, but in coaching basketball, this has happened several times. I'm thinking of one guy, Brian Taylor, back in Bluffton, Indiana. And he was an interesting basketball player. I've had many interesting basketball players over the years. And this fella was, he was the kind of guy, well, I won't get into a lot of stories, but I'll never forget one tip-off. And we got the tip. It was a miracle. We weren't supposed to get the tip. I always tell the guy, now, don't plan on getting the tip or plan on or whatever, and we kind of go accordingly. And this fella was standing underneath the other team's goal. And the tip came out, and it came to him, and he looked around. He saw that he was all alone, and he shot the ball and made it. And he was so excited. But it was for the other team. And the problem is he had his eyes on the wrong goal. You know, the goals look the same. Are you listening? It looked like the same thing. But, folks, we have to get fixated on the goal. By the way, just doing right is not accomplishing necessarily the goal that you have. You need to be specific and look at that goal. There's a lot of people in this room that did a lot of good things, but bless God, if you had a race to run and you didn't run the race and you didn't finish the race, then you failed in accomplishing your goal. And we've got to get our eyes on that goal and move forward. Move forward. Move forward. You know, a lot of people want us to get our minds on other things, but I'm telling you, you've got to just keep going and keep moving and keep going forward. If there's a swamp in front of you, bless God, run through it. If there's rocks in front of you, just run through them. If there's a valley, go down and come back up. Don't go around. Don't deviate. Just keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Determination. Determination to accomplish your goal. I hope there's a young person here that says, you know, I'm making straight A's this year. I'm going to make an A in that class. I got a C last semester. I'm going to make an A this semester. I'm going to do it because I know I can do it and you can do it. I'm going to do my very best. Determination. Number 5 was denunciation. Number 6, determination. Number 7 is no deviation. No deviation. Stay on the course. A lot of sidetracks out there. Paul said this one thing I do. Are you listening? He said, I press toward that mark. This one thing. I'm going to stay on my course. No sidetrack. No deviation. Churches today are, you know, there are so many ways we can get sidetracked. So many, politics is a sidetrack. The abortion issue, again, I'm against it. You know that, and I preach about it. But that's not all we do. Amen. Homosexuality, it's a sidetrack. You know, I'm against it. You know I'm against it. The Bible's against it. God's against it. And I preach about it, but I'm not going to preach. That's not all we're going to preach about. Christian school can be a sidetrack. End times can be a sidetrack. Politics, I already mentioned that. Demons can be a sidetrack. I got sidetracked one time for about a week and a half. And you talk about a sneaky sidetrack. Hello. Standards can be a sidetrack. Now, you know, I believe in standards, but it can get us off and wacky on being a balanced ministry. You have got to understand that in your life, you cannot allow anything to get you off your course. Okay, you've already got rid of the weights that are going to weigh you down and slow you down, but now you've got to make sure there is nothing that's going to sidetrack you. Look, if you will, at Galatians 5. I'm just about done, believe it or not. Galatians 5 and verse 7. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Ye did run well. Ye did run well. Ye did run well. Here's somebody that was running their race. They did run well. Who did hinder you? Who did hinder you? Boy, there's a lot of people out there that'll hinder you from running your race. There's a lot of folks out there. Gossip will hinder you. Here you're trying to do something for God. You're trying to run a race. God's put you in. And ye did run well. But somebody hindered you. A critic will hinder you from running your race. A critic, they'll attack your goal. They'll criticize your goal. I'm amazed. We'll have some young people come and say, you know, I made a decision to have some standards in my life. I made a decision to not go some places, not do some things, not wear some things. I made a decision to do that. It amazes me how the critics jump out then. And they'll attack their goal. They'll attack their finish line. They'll say, that's ridiculous. What's wrong with you? And I think, what is wrong with you? I don't get it. You ought to encourage them. But you got to get your eye, you got to keep your eyes on it. And no deviation, no swerving. It's not allowed. That's where, boyfriend-girlfriend thing can be a problem. That's where a job can be a problem. You know, I don't know how many people get great jobs. They go to a Bible college. God gives them a great job so they can go to that Bible college. And pretty soon they're doing the job and they're not going to Bible college. Happens all the time. Drives me nuts. What about what God called you to do? I remember David's freshman year. I went to the first college chapel his freshman year at Hiles Anderson. I remember Brother Hiles got up and he preached and he said, you came to go to college. You will do a lot of other things, but nothing is more important than what you came to do. Finish your job. That was so good, and I appreciate that so much. And, you know, we can get sidetracked with so many different things. In chapter 2 and verse 16, Philippians 2, 16, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, it's only in vain if you don't cross the finish line. How many people, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? You ran. And the only time it's empty is if you don't cross. That's the only time. How sad. Marriages get sidetracked. Yeah. Anytime you allow something to get you off the path, it's a sidetrack. It is no good. No deviation from the course that you set. You set the mark, and the mark is the goal, and there should be no deviation from it at all. I don't care what new television show is coming on. Yeah, boy, that's taking all my time now. No, you don't have time for that. You need to push that aside. You need to just stay on the path to finish. And that brings me to the last thing, number 8, and that's the destination. The destination. I press toward the mark for the prize. It was that prize that Jesus looked at and he said, that brings me joy. How did Jesus endure the cross? Well, he endured the cross because of the joy of the prize. He endured the cross because of the joy of seeing you at the altar when you got saved. He endured the cross because of the joy of seeing you in your living room when you bowed at the couch and you got saved. He endured the cross because of the joy of seeing you get saved at camp. He endured the cross because of the joy, the prize of seeing me get saved and kneeling down by my bed. I mean, he endured the cross because of that joy, that prize, that destination. That's what it's all about. You know, for the Christian, to me, I believe it's to hear well done. I don't know of anything that could be better for the Christian than to hear Jesus say, well done. You say, what about my mansion? You don't deserve that mansion. Neither do I. What about my inheritance? We don't deserve that either. We don't deserve any of those things. But the very best way we could say thank you to God is for him to say to us, well done. We've gotten very far away from that in our day. Of just, I want to hear God say to me, well done. We want something. We're used to getting something. To me, the crowns that he promises that we cast at his feet, that's how we say thank you, God. Because I don't deserve anything that I'm going to get. The world is full of quitters. The destination is the finish line. I like Judges 8, verse 4, with Gideon's small army. The Bible says they were faint, yet pursuing. Faint, yet pursuing. You may be tired, but don't quit. You may be we just started the year. You say, you know, I just accomplished some things, and now God's laid some other things on my heart. One of the men in our men's prayer time said, I've got all these things that God's laying on my heart and races to run and goals to meet and I just don't know where to begin. And you know where you begin at the beginning and you just start. And you take one at a time and you just accomplish what it is. You may be faint, but you just keep going and keep going and keep going and you don't quit. If you don't run, you don't stand a chance to win. No reward, no blessing, no victory, no well done. It's not about how fast you go. It's just about that you go. It's not about who you beat because there's nobody to beat. It's about are you beating your own time and getting there and finishing and not quitting. There may be some endurance, but Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. I promise you this. You will not set any goals at all if you don't get the fact that there is a joy at the end. There is a reward. There is a prize. There is a Lord Jesus Christ who loves you, who gave himself for you. You are his workmanship. And the greatest prize in all the world is to please him. The demonstration of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demarcation of the mark, the finish line, the declaration, I will do this, the dedication, I believe it's worth it, the denunciation, I'll not let anything weigh me down to slow me down, the determination, I'm going to finish, I'm going to start and I'm going to finish, there's no deviation, I'll stay on my course, and the destination is the finish line. And I want you to win. I want you to win. I want us to win. I want Berean Baptist Church to be everything that we are supposed to be in 2012. And that means we've got to run. And we've got to finish our course. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed.